This morning, we get to dive into a brand new series. And the series that we're moving into is called The Land Between. And the reason why we're in this series is because in life, we go through many different transitions. And even our own church is in the midst of a transition right now in terms of our lead pastor, as Pastor Wes is stepping out in faith, trusting that God is going to give him what is next in clarity soon, hopefully, and as I get to step into the role of lead pastor here at Grace Point. And just on that note, for a minute, on February 5th is the day that that will happen. That's the day where we are passing the baton, and I will become the lead pastor here. And that day is important for us to know because we get to honor Pastor Wes on that Sunday as well as look forward into the future. So we wanted to make sure that you were aware on February 5th, you're not going to want to miss it. And so mark that down, make sure you're here. But as we continue today, this morning, as we get to kick off our series, The Land Between, you know, we wanted you to know that life is full of transitions. You know, that could be from high school to college. Some of us have already passed through that transition in life. From single to married, from without children to now having children. My wife and I are about to have our one-year-old, he's going to be turning one now. We're not going to have another kid. I saw the face over there. I would not announce that in this way. Yeah, the phrasing there was a little off. That one's on me. I'm sorry. That's on me, guys. Well, yeah, mark that one down. Unfortunately, some of us have gone from married then to single. Or maybe we've, not in the case of that, hopefully. Or maybe we've had to lose a spouse. Some of us have even transitioned into empty nesters. Or maybe we went from employed to suddenly unemployed. Life is full of transitions. You could even argue that all of life, we could be in transition. But during this time, as difficult as it can be uncertain of what's next, it's a formative time for us. And it'll tell us if we actually trust in the Lord. And so during this series, we're going to look back at a number of examples in Scripture of the people of God and their various lands between. And in these moments, we're going to see what we get to learn from them. The land between can be a time where we deepen our faith in the Lord. It can be where we experience Him in a new way and our trust grows in God. Or it can be fertile grounds for genuine challenges that we may face. You know, it's in these moments where we're in transition where our faith can grow or it can grow weary. The choices that we make, though, determine the outcome. The key question that we're going to be asking this series is, God, what is it you desire to form in me in my land between? God, what is it you're doing? What is it that I need to know? What is it that needs to change in my life during this time? And even now, I want to be intentional and take a moment for us to maybe think of what transition we're going through in life currently. And just to take a moment and say those words, to pray that prayer, to say, God, what is it you desire to form in me, in my land between? The thing is, when we pray those words, and when we pray that prayer, it's acknowledging that, God, you're at work, even in the moments where it feels very uncertain. It's a prayer that says, God, I trust you. And God, I'm giving you control, and in my land between, in this moment I'm in where I don't know what's coming, my faith is in you. One of the most famous land between moments that we find in Scripture is in the Israelites and their journey in the wilderness. In fact, that's where we're going to be camping out a lot of this series, is where we find them in Exodus. And their land between was from slavery to the promised land. See, God needed to do a work in them in order to get them ready for what was next. And this was an intentional time that he had for them. And it was very formative in the nation of Israel. And we can learn a lot from it. And it can be formative for us in our relationship with God. We're going to be looking all the way back to their history, to the start of the nation of Israel. And we're going to see how God was faithful then, how he's faithful where we find them in the desert, and how we believe God is going to continue to be faithful in the future. See, the people of Israel, where we find them, they were removed from slavery. They had just walked through the Red Sea, and they were escaping from Egypt. Egypt is somewhat behind them. They're holding on a little bit to where they were, but they are now walking towards the Promised Land. And this is a land that is rich with fruit and produce. It's one that is safe for them, and it's one that they get to call their own. In Exodus, where we find their story, what we're going to notice is they're actually not quite ready yet to enter into the Promised Land. Why? Because they don't exactly trust God. They might trust him just a little bit with only a few things, maybe only a sliver of their life, but not with everything, and that's why they're in the land between. See, the time of transition was needed for them to fully learn to trust God. The same is true with our times of transition. They are necessary and intentional times. And we should be ready to be formed into who we need to be in order for us to move into what is next in our life. And this requires us to look at God, to look at who he is and who he always has been. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look at who God is. And see, the Israelites needed that reminder. See, the truth is that God has always been faithful. When we go all the way back in the beginning of the history of the nation of Israel, in Genesis 12 is where we're going to start today. And there we meet this man named Abraham. Many of you might know him as Father Abraham because he had many sons. At least there's a song that says that. And when we meet him, his dad has just died. And he's there in the land of his people, Haran. And so in Genesis 12, it picks up and it says this. It says, "The Lord said to Abram," that was his name at the time, it later gets changed. God says, "Leave your native country, leave your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you." Pretty specific. And he says, "I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and I will make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who treat you with contempt. All of the families on earth will be blessed through you." This is the promise that was given to Abram in Genesis 12. And this promise here led to great things. God was faithful in his promise to Abraham. And he did make him into the great nation of Israel. We know that because there we find them in Exodus. And the way he did that was through his descendants, Abraham's descendants. But even going further than that, when we read through that promise that says all of the earth will be blessed through you, if we go to Luke 3:34, we see a man named Abraham who's listed in the genealogy of Jesus, by which all of us have been blessed. What's interesting is at the time when Abraham was given this promise, when he was given this word go, he was childless. So God tells him, "I'm going to make you into a great nation." Well, the way that happens is through your descendants. Abraham had no descendants. So God, how was God going to bless the earth through him if he didn't have a child? This question was one that Abraham and his wife Sarah wrestled with. In fact, even when Sarah heard this, she laughed. She's like, there's no way. Why? Because they were old in age. They were past childbearing years. But Abraham and Sarah remained faithful. For the most part, they had a few hiccups here and there. But the promise of God remained. And then later in Genesis 21, it tells us the Lord kept his word. And he gave them a son named Isaac. See, to Abraham, the promise was given that he would be made into a great nation. And then with the birth of Isaac, this promise was beginning to be fulfilled. The people that we find in the desert in Exodus, they know this truth because this is their history. But they seem to forget who God is in that moment they are in. They've seen God be faithful in the past, and the fact that they are in the wilderness is because God was faithful to them. In the forming of them as a nation, and even during their time when they left Egypt in slavery, God was faithful again and again and again. The nation of Israel saw all of the 10 plagues happen, and they were protected. And then they saw the Red Sea split in front of them, and they walked through on dry grounds. God was faithful. But what's interesting, and this may be one thing we have in common with the Israelites, is that they had a tendency to look at our circumstances, to look at their circumstances and their moment of the land between, instead of looking to who God is and his character. Maybe that's true for us. Maybe we have a tendency to look at just our circumstances around us in our land between, instead of looking at who God is and his character. This is where we find them when we pick up their story in Exodus. They're just looking at what's happening around them. And in Exodus chapters 16 and 17, we see them only focusing on how they do not have any food or water. They see their hunger, they see their thirst, they see their exhaustion, they're tired, and they feel weary. You know, maybe they're a little bit emotional, but they're also super, super forgetful. All they can see is the troubles that surround them, and they forget who has been for them. They forget who God is and the fact that God is faithful. Not that he was, but God is faithful. See, just before we find them where they're complaining, in Exodus 14, it's the very moment the Israelites walk on dry ground. The Red Sea splits open. The Egyptians are chasing them, and they walk and pass through the waters. And it's dry ground. It's not wet, it's not damp, it's not muddy, completely dry. And they make their way through. They witness this miracle with their own eyes. They see the very powerful hand of God at work and how he is faithful. And they knew this was true because the next chapter we see Moses and the Israelites are singing a song of worship. And it's a song of deliverance because it's what God has done. He's delivered them from their slavery. Some of the words that they sing are these words. They say, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The Lord is my strength, and he is my song. He's given me victory. This is my God, and I will praise him. These are their words. They say, your right hand is glorious in power. They say, with your unfailing love, you lead the people you have redeemed. These words are an acknowledgement of who God is, that God, you are powerful, you are the one who saved us. God, you've been faithful to your people. God, you're not against us, but you are for us. And then a moment later, in Exodus 16, they complain. They say, God, where are you? God, why did you leave us? God, we're lost and we're tired. We need you. Their words, when we read them here in just a moment, what they say is not just complaining, but it's a complete lack of faith and trust that God is still going to take care of them. This is what it says in Exodus. It says, if only the Lord would have killed us back in Egypt. They moaned. There we sat around with pots filled with meat, and we ate all the bread that we wanted. But now you, God, you've brought us into the wilderness to starve us all to death. They completely let go of the promise of the promised land that they had been given. They said, God, we don't trust you anymore. You're leading us into a time full of death and despair. These words are saying, God, we don't believe in you. In fact, it was better for us when we were in slavery, when we were mistreated, when we were beaten and worked. God, that was way better than where you have us now. But God sees them and God is faithful. And he's about to prove it to them. Because God hears their cry and he tells Moses some specific instructions. He says, Moses, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. And each day you are to gather only what you need. Do not take any more or it's going to be spoiled. But trust me each and every day and I will provide. God is teaching them, and us for that matter, is that we are to look at him each and every day for exactly what we need. And when we do that, we will see that God is faithful every single day in the small things. And because he's so faithful in the small things, we can trust him and know that he will be faithful in the big things of life. Because that's who he is. God is faithful. And in our land between, God asks us to be faithful to him each day. He asks us to surrender each day to him, trusting in him for all that we will need. And we know that when we do that, God will continue to be faithful. Going back to the story of Abraham and Isaac, going back to their history, we know that Abraham was given his son Isaac, and then shortly after this blessing happens, and the fulfillment of the promise is starting to take shape, God speaks one more time. And in Genesis 22, it tells us these words. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. God then says, take your son, your only son, the one who you love so much, Isaac. You're going to go to the land of Moriah. You're going to go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will show you. It's similar to the first commands to go that was given to Abraham. This one comes again saying, go where I'm going to show you. Trust me to lead you in the right direction. But this time, God says, bring Isaac with you. Bring the fulfillment of the promise. You're going to have to sacrifice him. God here is asking a key question that I believe he asks us in our moments of the land between that we find ourselves in. In the moment where we find ourselves between where we are and where we're going, I believe God asks us this question. He says, you trusted me when you let go of the past, but will you trust me and let go of the future? God is asking Abraham, do you still trust me? Do you still trust me? Now, Abraham, you have a little piece of the puzzle. You have your son Abraham, the beginning of the forming of a great nation. You have him in your hands. You can physically see him. Do you still trust me now that I've given you a piece of what's to come? God will continue to be faithful because that's who he is. But will we? Will we continue to be faithful even when we have a little bit of our life figured out? Even when we can see what's coming and we think ahead and we're like, I got this, God, I'm ready for what's coming. Are we still going to be faithful to him? Because God will be faithful to us. But will we? Each day, will we still look at God when things seem to be going really well? Each day, will we still give thanks for all that he's provided for us? Or will we just take it for granted? God brought Abraham all the way up to the mountain. And God had him bind his son, lay him on the altar, get ready to sacrifice him. And it was in the very last moment, God said, look. It showed that he was going to continue to be faithful and provided a ram for Abraham and Isaac to sacrifice. God is faithful, and he will continue to be faithful. And in the moments of the unknown, and when we feel like we are in between, he asks us, do you still trust me? Will you let go of the future? You know, we started today by asking that question, taking a moment to ask a question. God, what is it you desire to form in me, in my land between? And maybe this morning, we just need God to form in us the reminder that he is faithful. And in ourselves, we need it to be formed just a little bit of faith in him. And we're going to sing a song here in a moment. It says the words, do it again. Because we believe that God is going to continue to be faithful. Because that's who he is. That God, you've moved mountains. And we believe you'll do it again and again and again. But do we trust him to do that? Do we have the faith to believe that he is still in control, that he is still at work in what's to come? Or do we hold tightly to our Isaacs, to the little piece of the puzzle? Are we not willing to let it go and say, God, I fully believe in you and who you are because you are faithful? So this morning, I would like to close us here in a prayer before we move into this time of worship. I just ask that you would pray with me. God, this morning, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for the example that we find in the Israelites and how you were always faithful to them. God, we believe that you are faithful and you're going to continue to be faithful. But Lord, would you help us to be faithful to you and your commands? God, that when you say go, we would go. When you tell us to stop, we would stop. And God, as we're in moments of transition, when we're in our land betweens, where we don't really know what's next for us, would you help us to trust you and you alone? Lord, would you form in us a faith that is undeniable and a faith that is unshakable? And as your word says in James chapter 1, God, that when our faith is tested, would it produce endurance? God, that we wouldn't grow weary, but our faith would only grow stronger in you. Because, God, we believe you are faithful, and we can trust you to be faithful in the future. Lord, we give you all the praise and honor and glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.